Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, November 12th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
oil climbs as Saudi Arabia says it will cut crude sales.
The pound and euro weaken as risks from Brexit and Italy mount.
Alibaba reports record sales for its 10th annual Singles Day.
And Europe's biggest tech company makes its largest acquisition ever.
Destructive and deadly wildfires continue to burn in both ends of California. Plus, Florida will recount the Senate and governor's races. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Miserable day for the Jets, blown out by the Buffalo Bills. Knicks also lost badly at home to Orlando. Devils fell at Winnipeg.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Monday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And stocks in Europe turned lower. U.S. stock index futures are little change. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 2 points, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. The CAC in Paris is little change. The FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up about the same. The U.S. bond market is closed today in observance of Veterans Day. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.50 to $12.07.10 an ounce. And the yen is at 113.93. John.
And oil is climbing as Saudi Arabia says it will reduce crude sales next month. The surge also comes amid speculation that OPEC will cut output next year. Bloomberg's James Poole has more.
Saudi's going to ship 500,000 fewer barrels a day in December. Just in 3 weeks' time, the cartel will get together in Vienna to map out strategy formally for 2019. So it definitely want to put the floor under the market here because they're worried about funding their budgets. But obviously, I suppose they don't want the price to go too high on the other hand because it would cause political frictions.
The Saudis are taking the lead to counter a slide in crude of about 20% over the past month. Checking prices right now, we have NYMEX crude up 23 cents a barrel at $60.42. The international benchmark Brent crude up 69 at $70.87 a barrel.
The British pound is weakening sharply as pressure mounts on Prime Minister Theresa May to abandon her Brexit plan. Joining us live with the latest from London is Bloomberg at Daybreak Europe anchor Marcus Carlson. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Karen. Good morning, John. After 16 months of talks, hopes have been building that a deal over Britain's departure from the EU is close. But the momentum seems to be fading, with concerns building that Theresa May will be unable to get the UK Parliament's backing. Pro-EU lawmakers from Theresa May's own Conservative Party say that the deal would be the worst of all worlds, that leaves the UK tied to the EU without a say. Eurosceptics, meanwhile, demand a more clean break from the block. Taking a closer look at sterling this morning, it is currently down by 0.9% against the dollar, with cable trading at 1.2852. Live in London, I'm Marcus Carlson, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Marcus, thanks. The euro trading near the weakest level in 16 months. Right now it's at 1.1260 against the dollar. This as the European Commission prepares to escalate its budget battle with Italy. Bloomberg's John Fulane reports from Rome.
Officials in Brussels could soon kickstart a disciplinary process to tackle Italy's unprecedented challenge to EU budget rules. Rome has until Tuesday to deliver a fresh budget, but Italian officials have already said that they are determined to stick to their plan for benefit spending, tax cuts, and a lower retirement age. In Rome, John Fulane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Stocks in China posted gains to start the week, while other markets in Asia struggled for direction. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has details from Hong Kong.
The Nikkei ended the day flat in Tokyo. Sydney shares up 0.33%, with energy stocks following oil higher. The CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite in China gained more than 1% after Alibaba's blockbuster of a singles day with a record $31 billion in sales, despite rising tensions between the U.S. and China. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thanks. And let's get more on those record sales from Alibaba's 10th annual Singles Day event. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
Another record 27% increase from the number that we saw in 2017. They racked up sales of more than 30 billion last night. Apple phones, Xiaomi phones, also Dyson vacuum cleaners amongst the top three products purchased by consumers. In terms of countries that were shipping goods to China and the consumers here, the top three nations included Japan, South Korea, and the US as well, interestingly.
Well, this marks Alibaba's last Singles Day event with Jack Ma as chairman. He's set to step down from the role next year.
SoftBank is seeking to raise $21 billion with an initial public offering of its Japanese telecom operations. It would be Japan's largest IPO yet, with shares expected to start trading on December 19th. SoftBank founder Masayoshi Son is listing the company's cash cow as he transforms SoftBank from a telecom operator into a global investment company.
Shares of British American Tobacco are plunging on news of a possible U.S. ban on menthol cigarettes. According to the Wall Street Journal, the FDA commissioner Scott Gottlieb plans to pursue new restrictions on the cigarettes, which are popular with younger smokers and generate as much as one quarter of BAT's profit. Shares are down to 8% in London.
Europe's biggest technology company is making its largest acquisition ever. SAP has agreed to buy Qualtrics International for $8 billion. Qualtrics is a Utah-based company that creates software to gather and analyze data. Shares of SAP are lower by 3% following the announcement.
And it's Art Auction Week in New York, and if the first night was any indication, there isn't much demand. Works by Claude Monet and Pablo Picasso led Christie's mixed auction of Impressionist and Modern Art yesterday. The sale totaled $279 million. That's down 42% from a year ago. And of the 61 offered lots, 15% failed to find buyers, including a Vincent van Gogh painting that was estimated at about $40 million. S&P futures right now up about a point, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. At 6:07 on Wall Street, let's get news from around the world this morning, and we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Wildfires continue to rage in Northern and Southern California. Officials say they found six more dead in a swath of Northern California wiped out by fire. That raises the death toll to 29. Another 228 remain unaccounted for as crews stepped up the search for bodies and missing people. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
These are more challenging investigations and autopsies because you're often dealing with the remains of humans who have been burned. And in some cases, you might only have bones.
Two people were killed in a wildfire in Southern California. President Trump received backlash for his tweet, blaming gross mismanagement for devastating wildfires in California. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on CBS's Face the Nation says his heart goes out to those killed and those who have lost homes.
These are historically large wildfires in California, but we do have a forest management problem all over the country we need to address. But, you know, California will receive the money they need, but going forward, we need to look at some of the underlying causes of these fires.
Face the Nation can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Florida's Senate and governor's races have gone to a recount that will decide two key offices in the state. The Republicans' advantages in those races have fallen below the 0.5% threshold to trigger a mandatory recount. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is said to have told associates that the Justice Department, under his leadership, won't cut the budget for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election interference. French President Emmanuel Macron had 60 world leaders in attendance in his commemoration for the end of World War I to warn them of the dangers of nationalism. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
He told them that nationalism is the very opposite of patriotism and issued grim warnings about how the world was back at war 20 years after World War I. Nationalist movements are on the rise across Europe, but Macron's comments seem most aimed at U.S. Donald Trump, who proudly declared himself a nationalist at the U.N. in September and sat grimly throughout the speech Sunday. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, Jets coach Todd Bowles' seat just got a whole lot hotter with the Jets going another bye week. He might get fired now or maybe after the season, but his future can't be called bright. With the Jets 3-7, having lost four in a row, and yesterday at home to lowly Buffalo, 41-10. Bills had a 31-0 lead in the first half. They outgained the Jets in the first quarter, 186-1. How does Bowles explain it?
You can't. You give them some credit, and we stunk it up as coaches. We stunk it up as players at the same time. We didn't play well.
As for his job security,
I don't worry about my job. I don't talk about my job. I just try to get to the next game. It's the business when you sign up for it.
Next game figures to be a lot tougher. It's against New England in 2 weeks. Patriots yesterday lost by 24 at Tennessee, ending their 6-game winning streak. Kansas City and the L.A. Rams both won at home. They're both now 9-1. They'll play each other week from tonight in Mexico City. Another win for New Orleans, now 8-1. Drew Brees moved into second all-time in career touchdown passes. Upset last night in Philadelphia. Dallas won 27-20. Zeke Elliott, 151 yards. Game-winning TD with 3:19 left. Both teams are 4-5. Eagles look nothing like the team that won the Super Bowl a year ago. They've lost three straight home games. Giants have their first game in over 2 weeks tonight in San Francisco. As bad as the Jets looked yesterday, the Knicks may have been worse. Orlando won the first quarter 30-10. A magic rout at the Garden, 115-89. Devils ended their long road trip going 1-6, a 5-2 loss at Winnipeg. MLS playoffs, the Red Bulls, after losing last week, beat Columbus 3-0 to advance to play Atlanta, who ousted NYCFC with a 3-1 victory. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And in other sports news, the Yankees may be closing in on a big purchase. The New York Post reports the team is in talks to buy the entire YES Network. It currently owns 20%. Disney has to sell some assets, including YES, as it looks to complete its $71 billion takeover of 21st Century Fox. The paper says the Yankees obtained the right to buy the 80% it didn't own if YES was sold. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures are little changed this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down less than a point. Dow futures down 32. NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. U.S. bond markets closed today in observance of Veterans Day. Meanwhile, NYMEX crude oil is moving higher, up 0.4% or 25 cents to $60.44 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2 to $1,206.60 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, at least 29 people are dead in a Northern California wildfire, and another 228 are missing. In Southern California, at least two people are dead from wildfires. Florida is recounting the votes from last week's Senate and gubernatorial elections. In the NFL, the Jets, Patriots, and Raiders all lost. The Redskins won tonight. The Giants at the 49ers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics lost. NHL, the Devils lost, along with the Capitals. The Bruins won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's now 6:18 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Right now, time to get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. And helping us do that is Senior Executive Editors Heather Harris in London, John McCrory right here in New York, and in Beijing. We're joined by Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. Heather, let's start with you. Oil catching a bid this morning, and you can thank the Saudis for that. What's going on?
That's right. So Saudi made pretty clear it's time to reverse some of those generous supply boosts they've had over the last couple of months. From May to October, the OPEC countries had put almost 2 million additional barrels into the market. They're now saying about 1 million of those needs to come back out again. We've seen oil turn to a bear market. The question is, as we move towards the more formal OPEC meeting at the beginning of December, is can they get everyone else on side?
And John McCrory, let's start with you here in New York and head out to the West Coast. No rain in sight. The conditions there, the wildfires continue, and it's getting very costly.
Absolutely, John. And as Michael Barr said, I mean, the human cost is what you think of first. 31 people already are dead, hundreds are missing, and hundreds of thousands of people displaced. But as you suggest, there's one estimate that the cost already is $19 billion of these wildfires throughout the state. That is on the scale of Hurricane Michael earlier this year in Florida. And it's really become these sort of recurring financial calamities for California, for the insurance industry, the utilities out there in the state itself.
Yeah. Emma, let's switch to you now. SoftBank raising $21 billion. It's an IPO. What's behind it?
Yeah, the new entity will be called SoftBank Corp, and at $21 billion, it's looking like it will be Japan's largest market debut ever. This is all about SoftBank titan Masayoshi Son's quest to morph the company from being a straight sort of telco operator to a global investment company. They want to be able to fund more investments in marquee startups like Uber, in which they were in really early and obviously very successful, and big names like China's Alibaba. The IPO is set for December 19. It isn't coming, though, at an amazing time in markets, which may be why SoftBank is providing a pretty hefty dividend payout ratio on the deal, about 85% of net income.
Heather, back to you in London. We have the euro this morning, 112.54. This is a 16-month low, and I guess we could chalk it all up to political uncertainty.
That's right. Now, interestingly, it's both the euro and the pound are down this morning. So neither of those regions are benefiting from Brexit and its dollar strength. It's almost, you know, if you like, reverse optics of the armistice commemoration ceremony we saw in France, where Trump looked increasingly isolated and Europe looked more united with Macron and Merkel embracing. Meantime, in the currency market, the dollar is going from strength to strength and the European currencies are looking much weaker.
And you also got to wonder when this becomes a political headache for the Trump administration, the stronger dollar. John, back to you. Once upon a time, there were hanging chads, if I remember correctly. Florida, another recount. What's up?
It's just another day in Florida, really, for a post-election day in Florida, at least. This time, it's the race for the Senate and the race for the governor that are really calling attention. There is a Thursday deadline for a state-mandated recount. Both sides are accusing each other. One, the Republicans, who are ahead in both of those races by a few thousand votes, they accuse the Democrats of some kind of voter malfeasance, and the Democrats are saying that the Republicans are voter suppressing votes. So, like I said, just another day in Florida.
But I understand that by law they have to do a recount if it's close.
This was the solution to the hanging chads controversy of 2000. In 2001, they passed a law that says, yes, 0.5%, if it's that close, they have to have a recount.
Emma, let's head over to you. Alibaba, the singles day. How did it end up?
Yeah, we saw some another record sales for China's answer to Black Friday. It's pretty fitting, and some might say convenient, given that it was Alibaba founder Jack Ma's last singles day at the helm of the company. Sales were up 27%, but look below the surface, and the slowdown in consumption that we've seen in other markets in China, namely for cars and for some luxury goods, was evident on singles day. That 27% sales growth is down from last year's 39%, and Alibaba did note a drop-off in purchases of big-ticket items like appliances. So we've got this slowdown in the economy here in China, the stock market rout, fueled by anxiety over the trade war, and it is curbing consumer demand.
And Heather in London, back to you. SAP and deal news. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating one. I mean, SAP tends to do small bolt-on deals, and this is the biggest it's attempted. Really interesting that it snapped this company up just before it was about to go public, and the valuation is really off the charts. I mean, it's kind of double what the company was hoping to get in an IPO, and two more Silicon Valley billionaires, brothers from Utah.
And John, let's wrap up with you. Robert Mueller's investigation lives to see another day.
Yes, it does. Bloomberg News reports exclusively today that new interim AG Matt Whitaker is signaling that he will not cut off funding for that. So the Mueller investigation continues. Most people expected that after the midterms there would be some report. We'll have to see exactly when Mueller files that report.
John McCrory here in New York, Heather Harris in London and Beijing. Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. Thanks to everybody. We appreciate it. This on a day when the bond market will be closed. S&P futures right now, they're down 2 points. And the Dow futures, 48 points lower. We have the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, just a bit higher right now, up 1 point. And NYMEX crude up 23 cents at $60.42 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer today for exceptional offers on select models during the Season of Audi sales event.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures, they're mixed. European equities lower to begin the new trading week. The U.S. bond market is closed for Veterans Day.
Crude oil is rising as Saudi Arabia says it'll reduce crude sales in December. There's also speculation that OPEC and its allies will cut output next year. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5%. It's at $60.46 a barrel, while Brent is up 1% at $70.89.
And the pound is weaker as pressure mounts on Prime Minister Theresa May to abandon her Brexit plan. A Bloomberg Daybreak editor, Christine Burke, has details.
There are more and more lawmakers getting behind this idea that Theresa May has maybe gone a bit too far and that she needs to abandon her current plans and maybe back down a bit. We saw a rare joint statement that was made yesterday in the Sunday Telegraph where we saw senior pro-Brexit lawmakers joining forces with Northern Ireland's DUP party saying that they will block Theresa May's current proposal. So we'll see where we get in the days ahead.
Thanks, Christine. Checking sterling right now, it is at 128.67 per dollar.
The euro is trading near the weakest level in 16 months. It's at $1.1257 as the European Commission prepares to escalate its budget battle with Italy. Officials in Brussels appear ready to begin a disciplinary process.
Shares of British American Tobacco down 8% on reports of a possible U.S. ban on menthol cigarettes. That business generates as much as one quarter of BAT's profit.
In deal news, Germany's SAP is making its largest acquisition, buying Qualtrics International for $8 billion. Shares of SAP are down 3% on the news.
SoftBank is seeking to raise more than $21 billion in the initial public offering of its Japanese telecom operations next month. That would make it Japan's biggest ever IPO.
And Alibaba set another sales record during its annual Singles Day event. The Chinese internet giant sold more than $30 billion worth of goods during the 24-hour sale.
And at 6:32 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index report. The VIX rose on Friday to finish the week at 17.36. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is up almost 3%. Right now, it's 17.87. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures up 3. No trading on the U.S. bond market today because of the Veterans Day holiday. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net. And here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. More bodies have been found in the wildfire burning around the Northern California town of Paradise. The campfire has burned over 6,400 single-family homes. At least 29 people were killed. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
Currently, there are 228 individuals who have been determined to be unaccounted for.
In Southern California, the number of dead from fires is at 2. Many of the victims appear to have been trying to escape the flames in their cars. The financial burden from the devastating wildfires may reach $19 billion. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The recurring theme in wildfires burning in both Northern and Southern California today is trying to get people who are fighting to save their homes out and evacuated safely to save their lives. Governor Jerry Brown has asked for federal help and aid and warns,
"This is not the new normal. This is the new abnormal. And this new abnormal will continue, certainly in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years.
By the way, the governor refutes President Trump's claim that the state is at fault for mismanagement. He says the federal government has more land in California than the state does. And Bloomberg News sources say the fires may end up being as costly as Hurricane Michael. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Florida's pivotal races for governor and U.S. Senate have gone to a recount. All 67 counties face the Thursday deadline to complete recounts in the two nationally watched midterm contests. The Democratic candidate for governor, Andrew Gillum, slammed critics of the recount process at his church in Tallahassee last night.
"The governor has filed another lawsuit to try to keep the votes that were counted in Broward County just yesterday from being added to the total tally. These are legal votes."
The recount quickly drew an unfounded rebuke from President Trump, tweeting, "Trying to steal two big elections in Florida." House Democrats plan to probe President Trump's involvement in hush payments arranged during the 2016 campaign to two women alleging affairs. That's according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, rock bottom for the Jets, losing at home to the Buffalo Bills, 41-10. Bills scored in the opening minute at a defensive touchdown. They led 31-0 still in the first half. Facing the NFL's worst offense, the Jets got outgained by more than double in total yards. Buffalo scored 5 touchdowns. They only scored 9 over their first 8 games. The Jets lost to a quarterback in Matt Barkley, who had been out of the NFL since 2016. Who had only won one NFL game before. He just joined the Bills 2 weeks ago. The injury to Sam Darnold put 39-year-old Josh McCown in for the Jets, and he struggled mightily, got intercepted twice. Beleaguered Jets coach Todd Bowles invoked Murphy's Law.
"It was a disappointing loss. It was tough. I've been a part of one of these in a long time. I think since Indianapolis a few years ago on the night game. And we didn't coach well in any aspect of the game. We didn't play well in any aspect of the game. So anything that could have went wrong, went wrong."
We'll see if Bowles keeps his job. Jets have a bye week, then return to play New England. Patriots will be angry. They just lost to Tennessee. Dallas last night won at Philadelphia 27-20. Both teams are 4-5. A couple of surprising first-place teams in the NFC, Washington and Chicago, both winning to get to 6-3. The Giants are 1-7. They come off the bye week to play tonight in San Francisco against the 2-7 49ers. The game next Monday night could be the best of the season. Chiefs and Rams in Mexico City. Both teams are 9-1. Knicks had a rough night. They let Orlando make 17 three-pointers. The Magic won at the Garden 115-89. This game was over early. Magic led 30-10 after the first quarter. Devils lost in Winnipeg 5-2. They went 1-6 in the long road trip. The Red Bulls won 3-0 at Columbus to advance in the MLS playoffs. They'll now face Atlanta, who ousted NYCFC, winning 3-1. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Earlier this year, the National Rifle Association shut down internet access to the grades it awards lawmakers. It seems the NRA's A grades, once a mark of electability, had become a liability for politicians. In the midterms, advocates of sensible gun regulation demonstrated why. In Washington state, voters easily passed a referendum that will raise the legal age to purchase semi-automatic rifles. The initiative will also require gun owners to store their firearms securely or risk criminal penalties. Even more remarkable was the number of congressional candidates running in swing districts nationwide who advocated gun safety regulation. It marks a seismic shift in gun politics. The changes required to produce sensible gun policy are now happening faster than many anticipated. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OP. INGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Coming up this week, the U.S. government issues data on October retail sales as consumers gear up for the holiday shopping season. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
We could be in store for an October rebound amid a pickup in auto sales. In September, though, retail sales rose just 0.1%, restrained by declining restaurant tabs. Looking ahead, holiday sales could top $1 trillion for the first time. That's according to eMarketer. Also on this week's economic calendar, the Consumer Price Index, the Import Price Index, and Industrial Production. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinnie. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Ignacio Rafa is the founder of a local startup in Argentina that is out to unclog that country's legal system. And if it works, it could be adopted elsewhere. He's developed artificial intelligence software called Promethea. Rafa trained the app using the district attorney's office digital library of 300,000 scanned court documents. When a case file enters the DA system, Promethea matches it to the most relevant decisions in its database, enabling it to guess how the court will rule in relatively simple cases. So far, judges have approved 33 of its 33 suggested rulings. The software generates a draft ruling on a case, one that carries the letterhead of the Buenos Aires District Attorney's Office and all the proper fonts and jargon, with no lawyers or paralegals involved. The app has attracted interest from the United Nations, the World Bank, and the Inter-American Development Bank in Washington. Now that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. This on a morning when S&P futures are down 2 points. The Dow futures, 49 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning, S&P futures anyway, little change. So are NASDAQ futures, while Dow futures are moving lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now. Dow futures down 49 points. S&Ps are lower by 2 and NASDAQ futures higher by 4.5. Note the bond market is closed for Veterans Day. Oil is trading higher and Shanghai gained 1.2% overnight. Well, European markets are trading lower, led by losses in Germany. Nothing today on the U.S. economic front. And in deal news, SAP to buy Qualtrics for $8 billion in its largest ever deal. Vista to buy cloud play Apptio for $38 a share. And Athena Health is said to be near a $5.5 billion sale to Veritas Capital and Elliott Management. In other news, Alibaba pulled in a record $31 billion from Singles Day. And tobacco stocks are under pressure in the pre-market after the Wall Street Journal reported that the FDA plans to pursue a ban on menthol cigarettes. Wrapping things up, Longbow said sharp Apple iPhone production cuts to hit suppliers. Jabil was upgraded to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Synovus raised overweight at Morgan Stanley. And L Brands upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Florida is recounting more than 8 million ballots from last week's midterm election. The races for governor and Senate are within a half percentage point. Republican Senate candidate and current Governor Rick Scott leads Democratic Senator Bill Nelson by just 12,500 votes. In the race for governor, Democrat Andrew Gillum trails Republican Ron DeSantis by 33,000 votes. The most destructive series of wildfires in California history has killed at least 31 people, with hundreds missing. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills 41-10. The Patriots and Raiders also lost. The Redskins won. Tonight, the Giants are at the 49ers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost along with the Capitals. The Bruins won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, on this date in 1859, the Leotard was born. Circus performer Jules Leotard first performed his flying trapeze act in Paris back then. He designed a close-fitting one-piece garment that let him move freely, and it was aerodynamic and had no loose ends to get tangled in the ropes. John had also showed off his physique and
That is how the leotard became known.
And it certainly makes a fashion statement on you this morning.
Yeah, well, I'm in the shows off my beer gut is what it does. Global News, 24 hours a day.
Not exactly, aerodynamic.
On air at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Yeah, but it makes me look cute. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Well, matter of opinion. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Congress returning to work this week, the Democratic takeover of the House sparking a reshuffle on K Street, and Vice President Pence traveling to Japan, Singapore, Australia, Papua New Guinea for meetings. Meanwhile, President Trump left the World War I commemorations in France this weekend, appearing isolated from a lot of his allies. And joining us more this morning is Bloomberg TV and radio chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cerulli. Kevin, it sounded like Mr. Trump got a bit of a lecture while he was in France.
It was frosty, to say the least. Look, President Trump really on display the isolationism between the president as well as European allies and leaders during his European meetings. Now, I don't anticipate this to really have any impact on him domestically. Republicans and Democrats are entrenched in their various positions and critiques of him, respectively. But it was quite remarkable that he was not able to attend a World War I commemoration ceremony.
The Europeans know a thing or two about nationalism. What sort of tensions were exposed, do you suppose?
Just in terms of a host of different tensions, whether it's economically on trade or even just various positioning in the world. I mean, this is a president who at one point, when he started his first term, really was seen as having a positive relationship with French President Emmanuel Macron. That very much has dissipated. And I think that that is quite notable, particularly as the president continues to try to negotiate trade deals. Now, we focus so much on the trade back and forth with the U.S. and China, and that will, of course, be on full display at the G20 in Buenos Aires. But in terms of Europe, I also think that that it's worth noting just the positioning that has gone on, particularly within the last 48 hours, where you now have a situation where the president is not necessarily signaling that he's going to have any type of major change in tone, temperament, or policy as he begins the second half of his first term.
Okay. Also, back to work for Congress. Lawmakers looking to pass the last needed spending bills, but pardon the pun, they may run into a wall.
Exactly. The December 7th, mark your calendar, that's the date that lawmakers have to pass some type of stopgap budget bill in order to avert a partial government shutdown. The government shutdowns that we've covered in the last several years really have become quite normalized, for lack of a better term, here inside of the Beltway. The president feels actually that it could even help him with his political base. The president has said he wants to see additional funding for the security along the U.S.-Mexico border. Look for that to flare up. Look for Russia sanctions could be another component of this, as well as making permanent tax cuts, extending tax cuts from the first tax package. This is really Republicans' last attempt to get any type of legislation done before the new Democratic House takes over in January.
Has the president toned down his rhetoric at all on the wall?
No. Not at all. Not at all. And just remember that blistering press conference at the White House last week. The president has said consistently that he's really dug in. Says that he has no regrets in terms of how he campaigned with the caravan issue. Look, though, what I would note in terms of long-term forecasts for immigration in particular, you've got a bunch of new Democrats coming in, and it's unknown, particularly in the House, where they're going to fall on the issue of immigration. There are many centrist Democrats, particularly in the Texas delegation, who have a bit of a more moderate approach to the issue of immigration. I'm going to be keeping a careful eye out to see whether or not they're able to work with Republicans on this issue, or whether it's just a complete non-starter, as it has been for most Democrats previously.
All right, let's advance that. Black lawmakers are set to assume more powerful roles in the House. So what kind of power does the Congressional Black Caucus now wield?
Our colleague Billy House has an excellent story on the terminal this morning about this, because the Congressional Black Caucus is truly on the verge of becoming the most powerful bloc in the U.S. House in January. They are set to lead at least five committees and more than a dozen subcommittees. The Congressional Black Caucus is of course, a block of House voters who are African-American, and they really are incredibly influential. Last week, I interviewed Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from California. She's set to become the chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee. But even beyond that, there are a host of other committees that they're set to lead. Elijah Cummings of Maryland, he's set to lead the Oversight and Government Reform. Benny Thompson will be the chair of Homeland Security, likely. Bobby Scott of Virginia, he could lead the Education and Workforce Committee. And Eddie Bernice Johnson of Texas could lead Science, Space, and Technology. All of that puts them in a position to negotiate with a White House that has been, for you know, with a very questionable, at putting it very mildly, in terms of rhetoric with the African-American community. This is quite remarkable. It's historic, and it's indicative of the diversity in the House of Representatives that was elected last week.
Kevin, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Ratcheting up pressure on the Trump administration, regulators from California and New York are warning that lack of a federal response to limit potent greenhouse gas refrigerants could allow millions more tons of climate-warming emissions nationwide by 2030. The states say the emissions would be a direct result of the Environmental Protection Agency's failure to enforce Obama-era rules banning certain hydrofluorocarbons, refrigerant chemicals that are greenhouse gases hundreds of times more potent than carbon dioxide. The EPA announced in April it wouldn't implement the limits and would eventually rewrite them. California and New York, along with nine other states and the District of Columbia, are suing the EPA, arguing it must enforce the portions of the Obama-era limits that are still intact. Several states are now developing state-level HFC regulations, but the industry is warning that consumer costs could increase if there's a patchwork of state regulations instead of one federal approach to HFCs. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And stocks did turn lower in Europe. U.S. stock index futures are paring their early gains. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. There is no trading on the U.S. bond market today due to the Veterans Day holiday. NYMEX crude oil is rising up 0.4% or 25 cents to $60.44 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.50 to $12.07.10 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1258. The yen 113.89. And straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.